KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. A musher has asked that he be able to put down a sled dog which has been quarantined since attacking a child. Iditarod musher Jake Berkowitz is seeking permission to have a family veterinarian euthanize Wizard. The dog on May 10th broke free from its chain in a Berkowitz Big Lake dog yard and seriously injured the girl with bites to her neck. She required hospitalization. Berkowitz contends the child's mother was given permission to be in the yard but didn't know she would be accompanied by small children. The Mat-Su Animal Care and Regulation Board deadlocked twice whether the dog should be killed, but have kept the dog. Berkowitz says he cannot allow the dog to continue living in what he deems inhumane circumstances. Berkowitz was the recipient of the Humanitarian Award for Best Dog Care in the 2013 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. The Alaska Redistricting Board says it will unveil 7 drafts of possible configurations of legislative districts, plus 5 more submitted by other groups or individuals. The draft plans will be presented at a public hearing that begins at 10 o'clock this morning in Anchorage. The 5-member board, dominated by 4 Republicans, produced new districts in 2012. The Alaska Supreme Court ruled they were unconstitutional because the board took the U.S. Voting Rights Act into consideration ahead of the Alaska Constitution. Board Attorney Michael White says the process this year will be simpler after the U.S. Supreme Court decision this week that eliminated a provision of the Federal Voting Rights Act. And as the Alaska Redistricting Board narrows down options for new voting districts, the Alaska Democratic Party has announced that interactive draft district maps have been posted on their website. Communications Director Zach Field says while the maps are available on the Alaska Redistricting Board website, most Alaskans don't have access to the Geographic Information Services, or GIS software, to view the more detailed maps. With the repeal of the Voting Rights Act just 3 days ago, Field says rural voters have suffered a setback. Now, with the Alaska Redistricting Board only holding public hearings in Fairbanks, Juneau, and Anchorage, there's concern that rural voters will not have their voices heard. Interactive maps can be accessed at alaskademocrats.org. If you have questions about the maps or if you'd like a paper copy, contact the Alaska Democratic Party. The White House is establishing a Council on Native American Affairs, and as APRN's Peter Granitz reports, it aims to elevate tribal issues beyond the Department of Interior. Secretary of the Interior Sally Jewell says government-to-government consultations are the foundation of federal-tribal relationships, but not many people understand that.
As a newcomer to this role, I knew about sovereign nations, tribes being sovereign nations. I didn't really fully understand the concept of self-determination and self-governance and how it interfaces with the federal government. And I would expect that many of my colleagues on the cabinet will also not be as steeped in those issues.
Jewell says the new council will meet quarterly. It will consist of cabinet secretaries, and she will head the panel. In addition to the new meetings, it will permanently establish the White House Tribal Nations Conference. The annual event will continue beyond the current administration. Jody Gillett is senior policy advisor for Native issues at the White House. She says the goal of the council is to more effectively manage tribal relationships.
We talk about working in a coordinated and effective fashion. That's something that tribal leaders have told us that we aren't talking to each other enough.
Many tribal leaders complain different federal agencies offer different messages for money and policy. And the 8 Arctic nations are setting military cooperation guidelines for the warming Arctic region. According to Defense News, chiefs of defense met for 2 days last week in Ilulissat, Greenland, to look at how the military could support ventures in the Arctic region over the next year. At the meeting, all 8 nations agreed to adhere to the Maritime Safety and Security Information System, which collects data and shares it with a network of 60 countries. This is anticipated to be helpful for handling cross-border marine situations, such as search and rescue missions or oil spill responses. The nations are also in talks to share information regarding vessel traffic, climate change, and natural resource exploration and activities. The State Department of Natural Resources issued 205 permits for offshore mining operations in Nome this year. In the midst of Nome's second gold rush, the town, quite often referred to as the Gold Rush City, has seen an influx of people in the summer the past few years. With the influx of people in Nome, there have been reports of theft from four-wheeler tires to fuel to dredging equipment. This summer, there was a report of an entire dredge stolen. It's probably no coincidence these actions are taken with the influx of miners in town. At KNOM this summer, we're taking some time to get to know some of our summertime neighbors. Each week, we'll talk with a different miner in the community. This week, we spoke with Maria Torres, a 24-year-old new to the mining community in Nome. Torres says the job is challenging.
I think my biggest challenge has been facing the adversity from men who think that girls can't do this job, and I definitely see why they would say that. It's a challenging, challenging job.
Torres says maneuvering a 10-foot suction dredge in zero visibility is difficult and dangerous.
With a 10-inch nozzle, you know, you could suck up an arm, you can suck up a leg. I feel like I do that once a day, getting stuck to the suction and whatnot, especially with conditions where you can't see anything. You can hardly see the end of the nozzle these past couple of days. Other than that, it's very physically strenuous. Definitely takes a certain type of muscle set to be able to haul that thing around and move it underwater and move all the rocks that are under the water. So,
to hear more from Maria, tune in to KNOM Profiles after this newscast and the weather, also after the 6 p.m. weather. You can also find the profile and today's newscast on the news page of our website later this morning at knom.org. The dry weather is prompting a ban on cutting wood and the use of fireworks in many parts of the Fairbanks North Star borough. Borough Mayor Luke Hopkins says the fireworks ban goes into effect at noon today. The ban from fire chiefs in the borough and the state fire marshal covers all areas inside fire districts and on state land. The only exception is private property within the borough that's outside a fire district. All borough firewood cutting areas were also closed to personal use and commercial logging. The state also had suspended operations at its woodcutting areas. Hopkins says the bans are in response to one of the worst dry spells in the interior since the 1980s. A look at the price of gold today, up $22.70 an ounce to $1,224.50. An ounce of silver at $19.53, up 92 cents. An Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome at 9:02 and is expected to depart to Anchorage at 9:47. It's unofficially 46 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.